Welcome to What's New in Ultra Tilted. We're Danny Riley and Thomas Matthews Horn from Teaching Innovation and Learning Technologies at Fort Hays State University. In each episode, we'll explore the latest Blackboard Ultra updates, discuss what they mean for your teaching, and share practical tips that you can use in your courses.
Welcome back to What's New in Ultra Tilted, your monthly guide to all the latest and greatest in Blackboard Ultra. I'm Thomas Matthews Horn.
And I'm Danny Riley. Episode 15, covering the July 2026 release. And can you believe we forgot to mention it? This podcast is officially over a year old as of May.
Happy podcast-iversary to us. And July is giving us a great belated anniversary gift. Updates to discussions, AI conversations, navigation, and a brand new reporting tool that Blackboard original users have been missing in Ultra.
Plus, an important announcement at the end of the episode that every FHSU faculty with any content still in original needs to hear. So stick around for that.
Definitely stay tuned for that one. But let's start with something that brings consistency to the course content page, descriptions for discussions and journals.
Yes, discussions and journals now have a dedicated description field, just like folders, learning modules, and documents already do.
This is one of those finally moments. Why did discussions not have descriptions when everything else did?
Right, and here's the most important workflow change. The description is separate from the prompt, and the prompt is no longer appears on the course content page.
So walk me through how that changes things.
Before, your discussion prompt was doing double duty. It was both the engagement question and the preview students saw on the course content page. Now you can use the description to set expectations and context, whatever you want, and reserve the prompt for the actual question or task.
That separation makes so much sense pedagogically. The description might say something like, weekly discussion on chapter 3 concepts, initial post due Wednesday, while the prompt inside contains the actual thought-provoking topic, question, whatever you want it.
Exactly. Students get a clear sense of what to expect before they even open the activity, and the course content page becomes more scannable and consistent.
One thing for instructors to note, though, since the prompt no longer shows on the course content page, you'll want to review your existing discussions if you were relying on that preview, add a description.
Great catch. That's a perfect summer task while you're prepping fall courses. Now, let's talk about AI conversations getting time limits.
This builds beautifully on the message limits we covered back in April. Now instructors can control duration, not just message count.
And there's real nuance here that I appreciate. An AI conversation has two parts, the conversation itself and the reflection question that follows. Instructors can now choose which part to time.
Break that down for us.
So there's two options. The assessment level time limit, which already existed, it covers the entire activity, both the conversation and the reflection. When time expires, it either auto-submits or gives the student additional time based on your settings.
And the new option?
So the conversation level time limit set within the conversation constraints. This times only the conversation itself. Students can still complete the reflection question afterward without any time pressure.
Oh, that's really thoughtful. Sometimes you want the conversation to be quick and focused, but the reflection is where the deep thinking happens. You don't want students rushing that part.
Exactly. Protecting reflection time while still structuring the interaction. And importantly, the two options are mutually exclusive. Setting a time limit in one place automatically blocks it in the other, so you never have two timers running at once.
That's a very smart guardrail. What about flexibility in the settings?
Within the conversation constraints, you can set a message limit, a time limit, both or neither. And you can modify the time limit right up until a student begins. Once someone starts their submission, it locks.
And what about accommodations?
They're handled automatically. So if a student has a time accommodation, the system adjusts the timer for that student. Fairness and compliance built right in.
That's essential. And students can see the countdown while they work?
Yes, and the placement depends on which time limit you set. For conversation level limits, the countdown appears right in the response area next to the message's remaining indicator. For assessment level limits, it's at the top of the whole assessment.
Clear expectations, no surprises, love it. Now let's talk about a navigation improvement that builds something from our May episode.
The course switcher keeps getting better. Remember in May when they added search? Now there's a favorites tab.
So the courses you mark as favorites on the main courses page now show up right in the course switcher.
Exactly. The favorites automatically mirror your selections from the courses page. So now the switcher has favorites, recent, and search all in one place.
It's a complete navigation toolkit. Your go-to courses and favorites, your current work and recent, and search for everything else.
For those of us juggling multiple courses, and I know most of our faculty are, this eliminates so much back and forth to the courses page.
Now, Danny, let's get to what I think is the headline feature for instructors this month, the rubric evaluation report.
This is a big one. Instructors can now run a rubric evaluation report directly from Gradebook for any graded activity with a rubric attached.
And this is actually a capability that Blackboard Original had that Ultra was missing, right?
Exactly. It's one of those features Blackboard Original users have been waiting for in Ultra. The report aggregates rubric data across all of your student submissions, showing how the class performed against each criterion.
Walk us through that. What's in the report?
Four sections. First, an overview with the assignment name, rubric type, and how many student evaluations are included. Then rubric overall performance, showing the average score against total points possible.
So you can see at a glance, average achieved score 79.57 out of 100, for example.
Right, then it gets really useful. The rubric analysis section is a bar graph comparing points possible for each criterion against the average points students actually earned.
So students are consistently underperforming on, say, your source integration criterion, but nailing thesis development. You can see that instantly.
Exactly. And finally, a frequency distribution table showing what percentage of students hit each performance level for every criterion, complete with average, median, mode, and standard deviation.
That's real assessment data for course improvement. This isn't just about grading anymore, it's about seeing patterns in student learning.
This is exactly the kind of evidence you want when you're revising assessments or identifying where students need more support. And it's practical. You access it from the contextual column in either grid view or gradable items view, and you export it as a PDF or CSV.
One note, grades must be posted to be included, and if there's not enough grading data, the system will let you know.
Right, so run it after you've finished grading, not midway through. Now, there's one more update this month, and it leads into that important announcement we mentioned.
Content and completed Blackboard Original courses is now read only. Once a course is marked complete, instructors can no longer create, edit, or delete content in them.
You can still view everything and access your materials, you just can't modify them. This builds on last month's update that made grading read only in completed original courses.
It's all about preserving the integrity of the official course record, and it's part of a bigger picture here at Fort Hays State University, which brings us to that announcement.
This is important, everyone. All original content goes read-only on December 31st, 2026, as Blackboard Original sunsets.
That's just under 6 months away. If you have any content still living in Blackboard Original, which includes organizations, not just courses, that you haven't transitioned to Ultra, now is the time to act.
Please schedule an appointment with one of us, an instructional designer here at Tilt. We will help you transition your content. That is literally what we are here to do.
And summer is honestly the perfect time to do this. Fall semester hasn't started, you have breathing room, and we have availability. Don't wait until December when everyone's rambling.
Seriously, future you will thank present you. Reach out and we'll make the transition as smooth as possible.
So Danny, stepping back from the sunset talk, what's your overall impression of this July release?
I see two themes here. First, consistency, descriptions bringing discussions and journals in line with other content, the course switcher becoming a complete navigation hub.
And the second?
Instructor insight. That rubric evaluation report gives us real data about student learning patterns, and the AI conversation time limits give us finer control over how learning activities unfold.
I'd add that the accommodations handling and those time limits deserves a shout out. Accessibility isn't an afterthought. It's built into the feature from day one. It's especially important as we grow closer to the pushed back April deadline for accessibility, which will be here before we know it. And it's already baked into that. So one less thing to worry about.
Absolutely. Now, where can our listeners go to learn more?
tigerlearn.fhsu.edu is your hub for everything Blackboard Ultra at Fort Hays, including scheduling those original to Ultra transition appointments with an instructional designer.
You'll also find links to the Anthology community to connect with other users,
the Idea Exchange, and fun fact, both the discussion descriptions and the rubric evaluation report came from the Idea Exchange and submissions from faculty. So your suggestions really do become features.
The links to the Blackboard Ultra open office hours, where Blackboard offers walkthroughs, announces upcoming releases, and provides hands-on help with any of these new tools.
And the link to the What's New in Ultra blog for detailed written guides on everything we covered today.
Perfect. That's episode 15 of What's New in Ultra Tilted. Officially our 15th episode, and the updates keep coming.
I'm running a rubric evaluation report on my first big assignment this fall. I can't wait to see what the data reveals.
And I'm going to add descriptions to every discussion in my courses this summer. Consistency, here we come.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your summer, and remember, schedule that transition appointment.
We'll be back next month with whatever August brings. I'm looking at you, gradebook. Until then, happy teaching.
I know that is sure to be exciting. See you next time.
Thanks for joining us on FHSU Tilt Talk for What's New in Ultra Tilted. For resources, how-to guides, and the latest teaching and learning updates, visit the Tigerlearn website or connect with the Tilt team. Be sure to subscribe on Amazon and Spotify so you don't miss next month's Blackboard Ultra updates. We'll see you next time.